All right. Welcome, everyone. So if you got your Bibles, please grab your Bibles. You're going to need them. We're not going to have the words on the screen, really. We're going to be in Genesis 17. So I'm really, really, really loving teaching through Genesis. You know, it's just amazing as I've been studying the passages, seeing how God is using men that were faithful men, but so, so far from perfect men. They were just flawed men. These were even men that we're seeing here, Abram, that really stumbled, and they even sinned. But then you see, as they turned back to God, they repented, and God used them. It's just a great reminder for all of us, I think, as we study and we learn that God does use faithful men. And it's through the Holy Spirit, not through our own means, that we are then empowered and then used by God. So, again, though, as we say that, it's still without excuse. Just because there is mercy and grace and forgiveness, God has called us each to be obedient to His Word, just as He's called Abram to be obedient. So last week we were in Genesis chapter 16, and we read and studied how Abram did not remain faithful to God and trust in God's promises. He did not. He lost hope. And he even came to the point where he listened to his wife's very, very bad idea of how they should have a child. They both, I believe, came to a point in their faith, in their walk, where they had just given up. They had lost hope. And I think a lot of that was is how much time had passed. It had been quite some time. 12, 13 years had passed. And they believed at that point that maybe they misunderstood, or they obviously, at this point, had taken matters into their own hands instead of believing in God's Word. I think what they thought maybe is they were going to help it along the way a little bit. You know, I know God said this, but it isn't happening, so we're going to get our own hands involved and help this to happen by their own means or their own works, you could call it. Now, we know that God had a plan. He had it all worked out and how it was supposed to happen. And He also had timing. It was in God's timing, not their timing, not our timing. We always see that with God's promises, right? He gives us promises. It's in His timing. It's not our timing. So again, Abram went outside of God's promise, went outside of God's plan, and then they had a child, Ishmael, with another woman besides his wife. And this caused all sorts of problems within his relationship with his wife, within his family, and then all the problems that we're still experiencing today because of what he did. Now, as we've seen that, I think the main lesson I really took out of last week's text was that we must trust in God's promises, but also allow for these promises to be worked out according to God's timing. Because if we try to force these things in our own timing and involve our own works, the results will not be according to His plan and will, and it can produce a great many problems, as we saw last week. So today we're going to be in Genesis 17, if you got your Bibles, and let's begin just by reading the first few verses. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I guarantee to give you countless descendants." So now, 13 years have passed again. There's been quite a period of time that has taken place. And as Abram and Sarai had sinned, and they had taken matters into their own hands, as we studied last week, now it's 13 years later. And they're living in the promised land in Canaan, and there's no recorded in our word from God that they had received in this entire time. Obviously, I believe they accepted in their own minds that Ishmael was the fulfillment of God's promise. I mean, after all, he was 99 years old right now. Anything else would have seemed impossible, except they believed that Ishmael was the fulfillment. Fulfillment of that promise. So this was, again, the story as Abram, as they're going about living according to their own works. But now God has showed up in this verse 13 years later and proclaiming to Abram who he is. He begins, after not hearing from him for 13 years, God starts right there. It says, appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. So he begins with his introduction. And then he instructs Abram how he should live and gives him the covenant once again. Now, as we've been studying Abram, we know through the study of the scriptures that he was seen as righteous in God's eyes. And we know that he was saved through his faith. And in these passages, now we see God come and proclaim again who he is and who he is in his life. And then, as God comes and proclaims who he is to Abram, he says, this is what you should do. You should serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Now that's a lesson for all of us, isn't it? First, we know who God is, God Almighty. And now he's given us instructions. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I want to turn over to James chapter 2, James 2:21. It's interesting, as I looked up this verse came to mind as what it was saying, and I didn't even remember that it was actually about Abram when I looked it up. So it's kind of interesting how God did that. James chapter 2, let's look at verse 21. Don't you remember that our ancestor, Abraham, was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Look at 22. You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. So it says, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are all shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. So God was going to bless Abram. We know this here, right? Because of his faith, turning back to Genesis. But he also comes to him and said, this is the requirements. This is how you are to live. To live in faith and live a blameless life. You know, as I read this, I was convicted myself. Even recently, as I've been praying and I've had some things come up in my own life where I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed some things in my life that needed to change. And it wasn't that these things in my life were necessarily like blatant sin. It wasn't like I was living a life of sin. But to serve him faithfully and live a blameless life, there were some things in my life that I felt that God had called me to change. He had really spoken to me and spoken to me that with this calling upon your life, that I need to live in a manner that would always bring him glory. You know, again, this is a continual process for all of us, right? Each and every day we wake up. We wake up and we need to surrender to God in this way and ask, just like here with Abram, you know, what is our response going to be? Are we going to live this way? Are we going to serve him faithfully and live a blameless life? So look back in Genesis 17. Let's look at 3 through 8. At this time, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you a father of the multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. Verse 7. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you, from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, and you and your descendants, it will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. So what we see here is an amazing picture, and we know of a man that was used by God. But it begins with what was his response to God. He fell face down before God. Now, I'm sure we see this as a physical posture, right? That's something physically he would do. But I really see this not just as a physical posture, but a spiritual posture. To be face down on the ground, there just waiting to hear what God is going to say to you. God then speaks to Abram, confirming his promise to him, and given really the details of this covenant that he has. But then what's God do before that? He changes his name from Abram to Abraham. This is a picture. I think it's a picture, a wonderful, beautiful picture that God has given us. You will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. The old man is gone, and a new man is born. I really believe this is a big transition in his life. And this is the man, this new man, Abram, the one that God has changed, is the one who will be the father of many nations. And he says, I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. And we know the King of Kings who's going to come out of that. So this time now for God's will, God's promise, God's covenant to be accomplished is at hand. His promise is going to be fulfilled. But first, this change takes place in Abraham's life. He has made a new creation here. I believe that the old Abram is gone. He is dead. And a new man, Abram, is now set apart by God to be used by God. And I know it's a picture, but now God has renamed him. And really, I think that goes for all of us, doesn't it? When we're born again. And when we're set apart to be used by God. When we're going to see God's promises fulfilled. Now let's see. Now he's renamed. God is getting ready to fulfill his promises. Do you think Abraham now is going to do everything exactly as he's told by God? I mean, once we're born again, we are a new creation in God. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're abiding in Jesus. Do we now become like perfect and do everything God asks? No, Abraham doesn't either. But we're going to see that. So let's look at verses 9 through 14. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to the members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. So God is going to fulfill this promise and has changed Abraham by name and changed who he is. Now this new man here, God is just saying now to Abraham, he says, your responsibility is to obey the terms of this covenant. So Abraham now has a part in this plan. He has a responsibility. He can't just remain idle and sit down and watch God work. He has been called to action in faith and called to obedience to God as God's plan will unfold and he fulfills his covenant. Now, besides, we're going to get into what God has asked for here specifically. What I found interesting that not only was Abraham called to be obedient in this manner, but he was also responsible to every male in his household for generations to come also to be obedient. So reading this, you know, that I believe this timing, as we see, as it talks about the timing of the circumcision. I want to talk about that for a minute. It says for the newborn on the eighth day, which is really amazing. And if you read some commentaries about that, they have a lot to say about that. I want to share one. It says, God probably commanded the circumcision of children to take place on the eighth day because this is the day when an infant's immune system is at the optimum level for such a procedure. It seems an important blood clotting agent, vitamin K, is not formed in the normal amount until the fifth to the seventh day of life. Another blood clotting agent, prothrombin, don't know that name, have to ask Alyssa for that one, is at the highest level in infants and precisely on the eighth day of life, making the eighth day the safest, easiest day to circumcise an infant. So it's amazing God knew all of this. He knew exactly all of this. Now back to this conversation that's going to take place, back to the passage here. I'm sorry, but you know what? you think about this, like, I always, like, do like the movie maker, right? Put myself in the story and I put myself in the different roles of different people. This would have been awkward. I mean, you think about that. Abraham had to now go. This would be one of the most awkward conversations in all of history, right? You think about this. Imagine as this plays out, right? Abraham has heard from God. And he gathers everyone. He gathers all the men. And there's a lot. This was a lot of people at the time. And he begins explaining, I have heard from God, El Shaddai, God Almighty. He came to me. And he spoke to me. And he said, for me and you, that we need to serve him faithfully. And we need to live a blameless life. I could say that. All of us, right? And he's telling him, also now, God has spoke to me. And he's changed my name. I am no longer Abram, but now I am Abraham, the father of many nations. Not just the father of many, but now my name means the father of many nations. At this point, I'm sure most people would kind of be on board, although I'm sure there's some chatter because how is he going to be the father of many nations? One child, 99 years old. But yeah, okay, you know, they're faithful, right, to the patriarch. Then he says, God is going to bless all of us here. He's going to bless us. But he's asked one thing from all of you. He's asked that your bodies will bear the mark of this everlasting covenant from God. Oh, okay, right? You all need to be circumcised today. Can you imagine that conversation? And then, oh, he says one more thing God said there. If you refuse, any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. Can you imagine this conversation taking place? Now, circumcision was known about. This wasn't a new practice in the time. I've read about it a little bit. They knew about it. It was not unknown to the world at that time. It was a ritual that had been practiced among other various people groups, but it certainly had not been practiced among this people group before. If they were going to be part of God's covenant, God's plan, there was an act of obedience that had to be done that would set them apart forever as God's people. You know, the bottom line is, as we look at this, and I know it sounds silly, but we should not look like the others of the world. We should be different. These men were going to be set apart both physically and spiritually because of their obedience to what God has asked. So it comes a question for us, and I mean a spiritual question, for each of us. How are we going to be obedient to that level? Is there things in our own lives that spiritually need to be cut out? Maybe there's things physically in our lives that need to go away because they're just not edifying to God. Maybe there's things that are in the way of what God has called us to do that are stumbling others. You know, as drastic as this sounds, this circumcision, there's worse things. I know some of us guys are like thinking about that. There are worse things. What about your family? What if God asks you to give up your son? You know, as we talk about that, we're like, oh! We know what God asked of Abraham later, and then we know that God gave his son. That's much worse. Much more. So I've noticed here as we're talking, as we're studying, it's all about the men, isn't it? Is it interesting? It's all about the men. God first called Abraham and all the men to obedience and asked for a physical outward sign of their faithfulness. Then God is coming in the next passages to address Sarai. Let's look, 15 through 18. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. For now on, her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly. She will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. 17. Then Abram bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. You know, this is interesting. I'm not sure about how this conversation kind of begins. As God is talking to him, he starts with, regarding your wife. You know, maybe some of you here, men, maybe some of you have strong-willed wives. Maybe some of you have very passionate wives. I know I do. I have a wife that is very passionate, that will do about anything for her family. And, I mean, she'll do anything to fight for her family. And, you know, as last week we talked about us men, how we need to stand for the Word of God within our families, within our marriage. We talked about this last week. And even when we have to stand for the Word of God when it might cause strife within our own marriages and our own homes. Because I believe here we see God started by calling the men to obedience. Then the men to follow him. And then he said, he's talking to Abraham. He says, then he comes to Abraham and says, regarding your wife. He didn't speak to her. He spoke to him. He said, regarding your wife. So again, it wasn't Abraham that was going to change his wife. He couldn't change his wife. But it was God who was changing her into the person that he would will to accomplish his will through her. Looking up her name now, that God has now changed her, it says, Sarai signifies my lady or my princess, which confines her dominion to one family. But Sarah signifies either a lady or a princess, simply and absolutely without restriction, or the princess of a multitude. So again, her name has become now extended outside of just her family into nations. God has changed her. So before we ask the question about Abraham, and we see his response here to God's promise, right? Do you see what his response was in the end? What did he say? Verse 18, but we also see here is Abraham bowed down to the ground. He laughed to himself in disbelief. How can this happen? So before we wonder about what was on his heart, what was he meaning, I think that's what's so awesome is, you know, what's the best way to interpret Scripture? Scripture. Other Scripture. So turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. 4:16. We're going to read through 21. So the promise is received by faith is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it. Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, or if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the Scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become a father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about the age of 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. So the Scripture is clear of his reaction, isn't it? He says his faith did not waver, though he didn't understand, but he believed. Now that's an interesting place to be, isn't it? When you believe in God's promise, but it seems absolutely impossible and you can't even fathom how it would be possible. And he's like, He's like, how could it even be that I could be a father at 100? It wasn't in disbelief. It was the fact he's like, how can it be? He's like, I would laugh at that. Could you imagine me having a newborn at 50? I'd laugh too. I'd cry probably. But that wasn't the case here. His reaction wasn't one of unbelief, but one of utter amazement, stating how this seems impossible, but he knew with God it was possible. He did believe in God's promise. So his response, look at verse 18 again, it says, so Abram then said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. He was confused still. He believed, he had faith, but he didn't understand how this could work because he did see himself at the age he was and his Sarah, his wife. So again, he says, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. God's promise, he believed, was going to be fulfilled, But he clearly did not understand what that was going to look like or how exactly that was going to work. That's so true for all of us, isn't it? We see God's promise on our life. He's spoken a word to us. Somebody's spoken a word to us through the Holy Spirit. And we believe in it, but we don't know what that looks like. We don't know the timing. We don't know how. We don't even grasp what that would be. I can look back in my own testimony and think, oh, you're going to be a pastor over in a foreign country. It was just, that didn't make zero sense to me. It made zero sense to me, but I did believe in it. So let's see, as Abraham did believe, but then did not understand or see how it was really even possible. Let's look at 19 through 22. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife will give birth to a son for you. His name will be Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. I will make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. When God had finished speaking, he left Abraham. So God clears this up. And he says very clearly, this prophecy, this covenant will be fulfilled, that Sarah will have a son, and it will be named Isaac, which means laughter, actually. So as God is confirming this, it's going to be confirmed through Sarah. What do we also see in here is, which I found interesting, what I see is compassion. Compassion from God. Compassion from Abraham. Because Ishmael was there. And God blesses him too. And we know the results through the centuries of what this all led to. But God still has compassion on this kid that was brought there outside of the will of God, outside of what God had planned through man's works. But yet God still has compassion, even though he is not the fulfillment of God's covenant, as some do believe today. You know, there's many that believe that he was the fulfillment. That's not true. So let's look at verse 23 through 27. On that very day, Abraham took his son, Ishmael, and every male in his household, including those born there and those he had bought. Then he circumcised them, cutting off their foreskins, just as God had told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, was 13. Both Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised on the same day, along with the other men and the boys of the household. Wherever they were born, whether they were born there or bought as servants, all were circumcised with him. This is one amazing act of obedience, that on that very same day that God spoke to him, every male was circumcised. This was an outward profession of faith. And what I found interesting as I read it, Ishmael was also circumcised. It's been 25 years in this story. 25 years since God promised this pregnancy, this promised child. Halfway through the wait, 12 or 13 years in there, they had lost hope. They faltered. They took matters in their own hands. We see here that Ishmael came of that. They took on their own ideas and ways they thought that they could produce God's will, their own timing, their own self-will. Now, as we talk about circumcision today I would like to look at Colossians chapter 2 to clear something up here. Verse 11. Because now, when we talk about circumcision in the New Testament after Jesus, we're talking about a spiritual circumcision, not necessarily a physical circumcision. So starting in verse 11, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I want to read a quote, and then I want to talk about an application. Guzik says, after the proclamation of his name, El Shaddai, God then told Abraham what was expected of him. It was first revelation and then expectation. This communicates the principle that we can only do what God expects of us when we know who he is, and we know in a full, personal, and real way. You know, as I look at this chapter, and I see Abraham, and I see my own life, God was getting ready to do something amazing. God had foretold of it, he had promised, he had made a covenant 25 years before. And the time was coming up now, within that next year, where that would be fulfilled in Abraham's life, in Sarah's life. But beforehand, there's things within his life, and very often in our own life, that needs to be cut away. There's things in our lives that are not useful to him as we serve him in ministry. And I don't think it's always sinful things, but sometimes for me, it's my own heart and my own attitude at times. And I look at my own testimony as God was working in my own life and fulfilling the prophecies that I've heard on my own life. Each step of the way, there's things that he cut away, that he said, these things need to be removed from your life. Because I'm going to do this work, but you also need to take the action and live in a way, as the scripture said here, right off the start, it says, to be serve me faithfully and to live a blameless life. So I think that, as I shared earlier, this is sometimes a daily thing that we each have to do when we wake up in the morning. And say, Lord, remove anything in my life that is not of you, anything that would get in the way of me accomplishing your will, or anything that's just not pleasing to you. And I'm not even talking about sin yet. Of course, if there's anything that's sinful in our lives, we want God to reveal that and we want to repent of that. What I've noticed here is in this story, there was stages in his life. And we're getting ready to a pivotal time in his life, right? This again, God's covenant is going to be fulfilled. The promise is going to be revealed. And God is clear that it's going to be done according to his will and his timing and his plan. But again, he comes to each one of us and asks us, is there anything in your life that maybe needs to, that is in the way of what God wants to do with you in your own life? And for me, it seems like every other year or so, there's things in our life. God's just sanctifying me. He's clearing that up. And it's done through the Holy Spirit. We can't do that on our own. But it really spoke to me just to really examine my own walk. And see, you know, maybe it's for me, it's frustration or it's pride or it's just my own heart against people. Am I loving people like God loves him, loves them? Am I, it just goes on and on for me. I can think of all the different examples in my life that, you know, where it starts though, for each of us, I really believe where it starts, being in the Word each and every day, being in prayer in each and every day, being faithful to be in church and every day, being in fellowship each and every, you know, be in fellowship with other believers. It starts there. And then through that, he starts working on us and he starts cutting away these things that are not useful to him. Because I think each one here, God, we know, has a special anointing on each one of your lives. He has a special plan for each one of your lives. He has a special timing to watch these things come to be in each one of our lives. But as we walk through that, there's actions that we need to take. God's clear on this. We have a responsibility, just as Abraham had a responsibility. And men, it starts with us. It starts with us as patriarchs, as leaders of our homes, that we first are to walk in obedience. And then, as we walk in obedience, as Abraham walked in obedience, Abraham then went to him and starts talking about his wife and his family. But it started with the men in the household. So please pray with me. I hope this message would speak to you that there are definitely things in our lives continually, and I don't think it ever ends, by the way, guys. We're ever changing, right? God's always working on us, until we're with Jesus. And, praise the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study your word. Lord, what an amazing story. 25 years, Lord, and your promises were coming true. And even as Abraham tried his own and his own works to make it happen, even as then you came to him later and told him that what's going to happen, he still was confused. You clarified with him exactly what your promises are and how and the timing that they would be fulfilled. And then, Lord, you told him that he has a responsibility before you, Lord, to be obedient to you, to live a life that's blameless before you. And he immediately, that very same day, went throughout his household, Lord, and did exactly what you asked of him. And even convinced all those around him to follow you in obedience. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to study your word tonight. I just pray that if there's anything in our lives, Lord, that needs to be circumcised, that needs to be cut off, that, Lord, needs to be removed so that we can be obedient to you, so we can walk in your calling. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal that to each of us, Lord. Lord, that we would be faithful as Abraham was. Be faithful, Lord, to follow after you. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for these men that we read about in the Bible, Lord. We see, even as you were speaking to him directly, revealing yourself to him, he still stumbled. He still didn't understand, but he still believed and he still acted in faith. And you continually blessed him and blessed his family. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would just seek you and seek you each and every day. And, Lord, we would just come face down before you as Abraham did. Face down before you, just waiting to hear from you. Face down before you asking, Lord, is there anything in our lives, Lord, that is not pleasing or edifying to you? Is there anything in our lives, Lord, that would hold us back from serving you? Lord, is there anything in our lives, Lord, that is damaging to our relationships between you and between others? And Lord, if there is, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would reveal that to each one of us, Lord. And you would empower us, Lord, just to change that, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in us, Lord, because I know I'm not able to do this. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.